If you own a property and have a second mortgage on it, and if you want to keep this property and get rid of the second loan, attorney Shaw Perali can help. Call 510-742-5887. Due to the uncertain economy, many people have settled their debts for a fraction of its value. It's recommended to use an experienced lawyer to deal with it. Shaw Perali is an experienced debt settlement attorney and has handled hundreds of such cases successfully. There are no upfront fees for debt settlement. Only when you win, you pay. Call Shaw Perali, attorney at law, at 510-742-5887 or visit yourdebtsettlementattorney.com for a free assessment. This is just an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is established by this ad. The law does not guarantee success. Call 510-742-5887.
Are you an H-1B visa holder? Do you have an I-140 petition approved or have an extension under AC-21 provisions? Are you on H-4 visa? If yes, we've got amazing news for you. As of May 26, 2015, you or your spouse on H-4 visa might be eligible for a work permit, aka EAD. And to apply, you need a lawyer who knows about H-4 visa issues. Lawyer Shaw Perali has been at the forefront of this fight for H-4 rights and has actually helped make this dream a reality. Now, his firm is ready to help you or your spouse get their EADs. Call 510-742-5887 or visit www.splgpc.com to apply for your EAD. This is an advertisement. No attorney-client relationship is created by this ad.
And now, from the San Francisco Bay Area studios, KLOK proudly presents to you the prominent attorney Shaw Perali for the Shaw Perali Law Show, coming at you with over 50,000 watts of power. The Shaw Perali Law Show, where all your views matter.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum, sustakal, namaskar to all the listeners. This is the Shaw Perali Law Show, and today we're going to discuss about, of course, what's happening on the immigration front and what might happen in the immigration front as from next year. And we'll also be going to take the callers in few minutes. The number to the studio is 408-912-5565, 408-912-5565. And anything I'm going to tell you today is my opinion. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. And we are going to discuss many issues that we are expecting to happen in the next few months or few years, that because immigration is going to change definitely. First of all, for those who don't know, everybody knows this at this point, but I'm just going to let you know. President-elect Trump has not taken power yet. He's forming his cabinet, and he will be officially taking power after January 20th, 2017. And we were trying to find out what are his priorities. Unfortunately, nobody has really kind of been able to assess that in details. However, there are many propositions coming from so-called anti-immigration groups, and one of them is not anti-immigration, but at least hardliners when it comes to immigration. And looking at the cabinet, most of the people who are going to be appointed are kind of quote-unquote not really pro-immigration. So there was a report published by FAIR. It's an organization which pretty much have been fighting a lot against immigration, and they put this out there probably because this is what we're going to see in the next few years. It's called Immigration Priorities for 2017 Presidential Transition. And it's written by Matt O'Brien, Spencer Riley, Robert Lowe, and Sarah Rebber. So just to let you know, this is a hardline view. But since it seems like the cabinet and President-elect Donald Trump has taken already kind of similar position, we might use this as a guideline what we can expect in the near future. So according to this report, basically, the priorities is kind of broad. They really want a huge immigration reform. For one, they want a wall on the border. Number two, they want to secure the northern border with Canada and a wall on the southern border in Mexico. They want to stop the catch and release. As you know, if someone is caught at the border, they can actually end up getting a bond and get released. So they want to end that. And they want to increase capacity of confronting those violators. That means more agents, which are pretty much things that we were expecting. Now, getting into more details, they want to remove immigration violators. That means those who have a criminal background, etc. But the thing is that how do they define that? Because they are adding, they plan to add, even overstay might be a criminal case against the alien, and alien, which we call basically people who are here in the United States illegally or legally. And then the report goes on, and they don't want any amnesties, but the truth is that there have not been an amnesty for years now. They want to end visa overstays. They want to have an exit visa. And they want to also implement E-Verify very vigorously. That's something big because you will see if there's any mistake. E-Verify is not really reliable, by the way. Sometimes they're a mistake, but if someone is in violation of that, they will punish them according to their proposition. And then again, they want to end birthright citizenship, which is something that, as you know, if you come to the United States, even unlawfully, if your child is born here, the child becomes a U.S. citizen. So they want this to stop. For those who have already gotten it, they won't be able to change that probably, but those in the future, they want to do that. They want to end health care for what they call illegal aliens. They want to seek compliance with the Real ID Act. The Real ID Act is a very, very bad law. It was passed during the time of the Bush administration. It's very, very tough. Many times, even when you're in court, when they call on this law, it becomes very problematic for lawyers to defend them. Then they want to see rules that will support the American workers, and they don't really say how, but they are saying that immigrants, we don't need immigrants here, kind of. The first 100 days, they kind of say what they want in the first 100 days. They want to end sanctuary cities. For those who don't know, there is a protection by sanctuary cities, which is not a great protection from my point of view, but it is at least shows you that there are some kind of protection for people who are here. They want that to end. They want to have aliens who have been committing, according to any crimes, will be punished. That means even simple crimes, they will punish them dearly. And right now, there is a case that is going on to the U.S. Supreme Court where indefinite detention. For those who don't know, if you commit a crime, you complete your crime sentence in a regular custody state jail, then there is what we call ICE will put a hold on you. Put you in another custody even after you complete your punishment. And oftentimes people end up there for years until their case is finished. And that's the lawsuit that is going on. And if the Supreme Court side with the fact that it is allowed, then we have a bigger problem when he starts rounding up people. So that's another thing that we should be worried about. And then also one part, which is, of course, refugees. They basically are going to make it really hard for refugees here. We don't know really what is their future, but for those who are refugees, they better be careful. And then also, they want to reduce also legal immigration. That's a part that many people who are listening to me are worried about, because most of the people who listen to us are either on some kind of work visa, student visa. But what they want to reduce are TPS, which protects people who are, like you have TPS right now for Yemen, for countries like Syria, Nepal in some situations, Haiti. They want to kind of not really end it, but they want to kind of curtail it. And then they want to have biographic data on what we call illegal immigrants. So the question is that if they want the biographic data and deport them, people who are, I doubt people will volunteer to go and give their data, but that's another issue. Now, they want to regulate OPT, which is something big on this one. So basically, they're following on that. And of course, they want to take away the H4EAD also. Ultimately, that's what their goal is. And they want to actually enforce a public charge inadmissibility. That means if you are someone who is a public charge, that means you don't have anybody to support you here, the government should not give you a green card or any kind of paper. So these are just few of them that I've mentioned here. There's a long report on this. If you Google it, you should find it. And it's called FAIR 2017 Presidential Transition Report. And what worries me now is the question that everybody is asking, can those be implemented? The truth is that it was well thought, the way they prepared the plan. So it is something that they can implement. Now the question is the timing. How long will it take to implement that? That's a different issue, because we know most of the courts are actually clogged right now. So what happens next? Will they be able to implement that immediately? Will it take time? We need to kind of now wait and see, because although this report is something that is proposed, FAIR is an independent group. They are not really advising the president, but if you look at the way it's set up, it's pretty much what has been promised under the Trump campaign, and having the cabinet now, which is pretty much very much anti-immigration, including Senator Session, including Kobach, including Bannon, Flynn, and people like that. They're very anti-immigration, quote-unquote. Well, they always say it's anti-illegal immigration, but it's more than that, unfortunately. So trying to kind of bury the head in the sand, hoping things will be better, it might be wrong. So we need to be ready and have solutions. For one, the U.S. Constitution provide protection. First of all, you have to know your rights. The U.S. Constitution pretty much provide protection for everybody. It doesn't matter you're illegal. So there are some basic rules. I know a lot of people calling me and they are fearful, especially in the Hispanic community, where they are scared. Their children are scared because they are undocumented and they don't know what to do. And what will happen to them, and their children are having nightmares and not sleeping because they don't know. But there are some basic rules. I'm going to go over those rules in a few, but let me first take a caller. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air. Hello? Okay, sorry. So for those who want to call, if you have any questions on immigration, doesn't matter, it's related to the topic I'm talking about, as long as it's immigration, feel free to call 408-912-5565. And today I have Franco with me on the board. And just to let people know, I know all the shows we've been covering what will happen to immigration, because the truth is nobody really knows 100%. But there are things out there that gives us hint where things are going, including the selection of the cabinet, including some major things that we think is kind of hints us what we can expect on immigration. So that's why we have another caller, I think, Franco. This is Sharp Rai. You're live on air?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Okay. My husband's H-1 is there till Jan 2017. That is till next month.
Mm-hmm.
He has applied for his extension and which has got approved till 2018 December.
Mm-hmm.
We have a plan to apply for my H4 EAD for the first time.
Yes.
And we also have a plan to travel to India in the December month. So mm-hmm. during the travel, we are planning to apply for H1 and H4 visa stamp for both of us. So is it travel allowed when my H-4 EAD is in progress.
Okay. Travel is allowed if the EAD only you're filing. But if you're filing change of status to H-4, let's say, for example, you're on F-1, you're moving to H-4, then no. But if you're filing for the EAD and you travel, yeah, but I don't recommend doing that. My advice is to quickly file the EAD as soon as possible, get it, and then travel. But the EAD is not affected by the travel. What is affected if you are doing change of status to H-4, okay? All right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Rai. You're live on air.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Shah.
Good morning.
This is Brijesh.
Hi, Brijesh.
Yeah, hi. I have a question, Shah. I'm on H-1B, and my I-140 approved in 2010.
Yes.
And I have my dependents here. They are on H-4. My son is in currently 10th grade. And in a couple of years, he will become 18, and then he will plan for his college. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to know, when he will become 18, he will be still on H-4, or do we need to change his status?
I think you can go and stay on H-4, if I'm not mistaken, till 21. So after that, you need to file for something like a student visa or his own H-1B or something like that, unless your dates become current and you file for adjustment of status for him.
But, he can be on H-4 till 21.
Yes, as far as I know, it's 21 because I always get confused with the dates, but usually it's 21 for H-4. She's still a dependent until 21, unless he gets married or something.
Okay. It means once he will go to college, he doesn't have to need F-1 for college. He can go on.
As long as his H-4 is good, yes. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to double check on the 21, but as far as I know, it's 21. Okay?
Okay. All right? Thank you.
Okay, then. Good luck. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Rai. You are live on air.
Hey, my name is Sanket, and I have a question. So, is there this new rule that now the employer cannot revoke I-140 even if the employee leaves the company? And
yes.
Like, if so, then how about those employees who have left the company before this new rule came in place?
Yeah, the rule will be effective as from January 17. So for those who have already been revoked, they can do nothing about it. For those who come after that, they will benefit from that rule. But there's a caveat. This rule is under another of Obama's kind of executive action, and there's a big chance it will be reversed in the next 1 year or so. So you can rely on it a little bit. Hopefully it won't be reversed, so you cannot rely too much on it. So it's there now. It's going to be effective January 17th. And it will apply only for revocation happening after that, not before, okay? Because they cannot backdate the law, okay?
I see. And they still cannot, I mean, the priority date still cannot, I mean, cannot get expired or something like that, right?
The priority date stays with you technically, even according to most of the sources, and they made sure of that. Even the I-140 is revoked. That has always been there. Although there were some issues on, there have been some issues in the past on one case where they say no, but that was a very exceptional case. But no, the priority date will stay. It's only the validity of the I-140 because you need the I-140, for example, to do extension of H-1B. You won't be able to use that, okay?
I see. Okay, yeah, sure. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. So I don't know if I have more callers, Franco. This is Shah Rai. You are 11 a.m. Okay, so the caller had brought a good point. There's this new rule, bunch of rules that was elaborated under this, kind of late, but it's never too late. but it's there. We have the I-140 EAD. Some will get, some will not get. But, and that 60 days grace period on H-1B, but it will be effective as from January 17, 2017. So, but, and then 3 days later, you'll have Trump taking power, so things might change again. Let me take a caller. This is Shah Rai. You're live on air.
Hey, Shah. Thanks for taking the call, and thanks for the excellent show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sure. So the question I had was, how is this new petition coming along to make all the EB categories for all the countries?
Oh, yes. Good you brought it up. Well, we got 3,500 signatures, I think, around that. But we need something more substantial so that we can push it. But this is what I was thinking. I was thinking if suddenly the government has the ability to do that, just made everybody, at least on chart, be current. Right? What will happen, it will protect all those people who have an I-140 or eligible for I-485. So they can do that. Hopefully that petition will have an effect, but we need more signatures. It's kind of slowed down, and Thanksgiving and everything people didn't go through. But if you go on the, just type, Google it, it's on change.org, make the January 2017 visa bulletin current. Please sign it, and it's going okay. What I'm planning to do in the next couple of days, I'm probably going to make an open letter and put it out there, and hopefully the government is getting it. But trust me, they usually listen to what we write on those petitions, because we saw it on H4, they even responded. So I'm hoping we can do the same. If we can get that done, we can get more people to sign on this petition. It has an impact. We might at least get one last thing from Obama before he leaves, okay?
So you think there is a deadline before which you have to get all this?
Yeah, we have to get it done before the 5th, because they start deciding around that time, before the 5th of December, because by the 9th, we will have the visa bulletin come out. If we only asking for chart B to be current. We don't really care about chart A. We want chart A, but chart A is too much we are asking. But if they get chart B current, that means everybody will be eligible for, everybody who has an I-140 will be eligible for an I-45. And that is pretty much Congress law. To reverse that, it will take some time. So it might never be reversed, because those are genuine stuff that goes through the genuine channel. Only thing is that they have the ability, because that chart B is not really based on anything except what the government is thinking. So if we can convince the State Department to make chart B current, we will save a lot of people. Okay?
Okay,
please share it with your friends.
Yeah,
and then also what I'll do, I'll put a link. If you go on my YouTube channel, I put a link of the or even on my website, I'll put it today. I don't know if I put it already, but I think it's there on attorneyonair.com or Pirali Law. Please sign it and pass it to your friends, okay? Okay? Thank you. So let me take another caller. This is Shah Pirali. You're live on air.
Hi, Shah. Actually, I have a question regarding I-94.
Yes, sir.
It is regarding my son. Actually, I have twins. So when I came on L1, like, I-94 was not correct. And I went to like San Francisco and got it corrected. And they say, like, because their name is very similar and date of birth is also same, that's the reason their system is not able to differentiate them.
Yes.
On L1, then I went back, went to India, came back, and then I moved to H1B. It's still like their I-94 online is incorrect, but whatever with H1B approval, I got the I-94 for my son, that is correct. So should I be concerned and approach them again, or it should be fine?
Well, technically, if you already went to them and they already kind of look into it, so you don't have to worry too much about it. But okay, it is good to have a record. You try to fix it just to be on the safe side. So you might want just to write a letter and let them know there's a mistake on the I-94. And keep a copy for you. If tomorrow they come and question you, you have something to show that you tried your best to fix the issue, okay? But it's not a major problem once the other I-94 comes up. But it might become very important once we reach the point of, you know, the new government takes power, because one of the things that they are really kind of going, they want to do, which I hope they won't be able to do, is that any mistake on those I-94 and unlawful presence, they want to criminalize those. So it's a good idea to have it on the record, let them know, and then keep a copy for you that you inform them about that. Okay?
So you are suggesting I should go and correct it? Because they don't handle any requests on phone or anything?
Yeah, sometimes they will accept the phone because this is a... Right now, you can still do that. Just go ahead and try to call them, see if they can do it on the phone. Otherwise, at least have something, some kind of proof you try to do it. Maybe a letter you submit to them and you keep a copy for you. Because if tomorrow there is some kind of questioning, which usually doesn't happen. In the past, it never happened because they know there's a glitch on that. But we have to be ready. And that's one thing I was going to discuss later. Make sure everything is in order because we don't know what we're expecting. All immigration lawyers are expecting a tsunami coming in the next year, unless we're totally wrong. But we need to make sure everybody is compliant because one single mistake might cost you. So it's good to have a record. As long as you have a record, you have something to rely on. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Parai. You're live on air.
Hi, Shah. My name is Srini, and I have a question. I got my green card in February of 2012.
Yes.
I'm currently eligible to apply for my U.S. citizenship.
Yes.
But my Indian passport is expiring in at the end of January. So should I be getting it renewed then apply? Or
No. Don't wait on that. Take it the way it is and show it to them because the only thing they want to know is how many times you travel or if you have any marks on your passport which are negative. But don't wait on getting it renewed before going there. Just go ahead, file for U.S. citizenship because once you get the U.S. citizenship, I think as far as I know, India will not give you a new passport. But you won't even be able to use that new passport. So get straight to your citizenship right away. As soon as your dates are... When you got it in January 2012, right?
February 2012.
Okay, so right now you count 90 days behind, you are eligible. So that means in December you will be eligible, right?
Right.
Okay, file
this. I'm already eligible in November. Yeah.
Okay, I want you to file right now. Okay, so today is December 1st right now. So go ahead, file your citizenship. This is another thing I was going to discuss. I am advising everybody who can file for citizenship to file for it. Because things are going to change and we don't know how things are going to be. If you can protect yourself and your family, get your citizenship done. If you have any issues, please give us a call at the office, 510-742-5887. Everybody who are eligible for citizenship, unless you're not planning to stay here, I recommend to file citizenship. I will elaborate on that after the callers, but it's very important to do that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Let me take another caller. This is Shah Parai. You're live on air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I have a question that my husband and I filed up for citizenship together, and we got the fingerprinting together, but he got the letter for interview for the coming week, but I haven't heard from them, even though my husband received the letter almost a month ago. So should I worry about it?
Yes and no, because probably what happens is that sometimes their security check is delayed. The way the system works is that every time they reach that level, the case is assigned to an officer, right? So if the officer is too busy, he might delay your citizenship interview, or if there's a background check. So when did you file for your citizenship, actually?
In the month of September. Or August, September, kind of, and we had our fingerprinting in the first week of October.
Okay, so what you can do, just give a call to the USCIS on the 800 number, see what's happening on your citizenship. The letter might be lost too, so double check with them, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So we don't have other callers right now, and very good question on citizenship. I was going to go over this as some solutions now to protect people because we have been talking about what might happen. And from my perspective, and having done this for now almost 14 years as an immigration lawyer, I've been to the Bush administration, I've been to the Obama administration, and I know how things are pretty much going to unfold. Although we know President Trump is kind of peculiar, he doesn't really go by the rules. That everybody knows that, but for me, the trend is there because I kind of studied the trend and I knew, first of all, I've been saying this, he's going to be president. That's number one. Now, number two, what is going to happen in immigration? Well, the way immigration works is There are many laws on the books of immigration, basically, that has not been applied, especially under the Obama administration. For example, if for those who were here back in the days of Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General under the Bush administration, he was also a hardliner against immigration. I remember his quote, he said, if an immigrant spit on the road, we were going to deport them. And that's kind of a metaphor he wanted to mention. Basically, he's saying he's not going to be, it's called zero tolerance, right? And of course, over the time, there was lawsuits, there were things like that, but things were a little bit more organized at that time than it is right now. So now the question is, a lot of people think that we should not be worried, things are going to be okay. Yes, I agree, we have to have hope, that's very important. But more important, you have to know your rights and you have to be compliant, because a single mistake can cost you very dearly, because the problem that I'm worried about is once you start cracking down on, they start cracking down on immigrants, they will use that rule of indefinite detention unless the Supreme Court kind of cuts it off. So now, first of all, you have to know you have rights under the Constitution. Whether you're legal, illegal, whatever you call it, you have rights in the United. As long as you're in the United States, you are on the United States soil, you are covered by the Constitution. But depending on if you're a citizen, a green card, or a legal worker, an H-1B example, or illegal, your rights are different, but the rights, basic rights are here. For number one, many people now are fearful what happens if, for example, ICE come and knock at your door. So I'm going to go over some of your rights. Number one, unless they have a warrant, they cannot enter your house. However, many times people will prefer just to talk to them in order to avoid confrontations. And sometimes people who file for marriage visas get this sudden knock in the morning on their front door. They want to come in the house and check and things like that. In those cases, oftentimes you have given permission for that, but it's not always the case. Now, if you are someone, there is someone undocumented in your house, they knock at the door, should you open the door? Well, you have a right not to open the door, by the way. That is basically, they need a warrant to enter the house. But now, if you open the door and you say, okay, you can come in, it's fine, you're already given the permission. Once you do that, then there's no need for a warrant. You have to know those rules. Number two, if you want to speak to them, it's always better to step outside, check their badge, check what they want to ask, and if you don't feel comfortable, you say, I would like to talk to an attorney first before I speak to you, or you can just remain silent and say, I want an attorney. And that's what we advise people. It depends on the case. If it is a criminal matter, yeah, you might be entitled to an attorney. But if it is an immigration matter, you can get an attorney, but it's at your own cost. I repeat that. It's very important. Immigration is not a free attorney, so unless it's an organization providing it. There are many organizations out there that are organizing to help people. So make sure you have one phone number or have a phone number of a lawyer in your hand. I don't do a lot of deportations, but ultimately we have to help a lot of people. So my San Francisco office might be handling those. But if in case you need help, give us a call, 510-742-5887. But most of the time, those are handled by organizations trying to help the immigrants. So it's very important that you know this. Number three, make sure you don't lose your temper and hurt the officer. Because I've seen cases where people will hit the officers or try to run away or push them away. It's not helpful, because once you do that, you will be into a different category, resisting arrest, which is a crime, which ultimately can get you deported, even if you were not deportable in the first place. Number four, I recommend you go to a lawyer who understands what is happening, someone experienced. Because many of the things when it comes to immigration, I know people listen to me because they know I know things from experience, because there's no way you can learn all this in books. For example, you have to check all your options. if you are a victim of a crime, if you have any problems that you have a family member who can petition for you, you might fall into EB1 category you don't even know about, national interest waivers. You might be a U.S. citizen you don't know about. So it's always good to sit with a lawyer who knows what they are doing, or a lawyer from an organization who can assess your case. And if you are a DACA recipient, that means you got those work permits, my recommendation is to be very careful, because you're naming this database, so they know your address. So first people that we're worried about are those people who file for DACA, because they will be the easy prey. Now, if you are on some kind of non-immigrant visa, like an H-1B, H-4, L-1, make sure your employer is compliant with everything. And you make sure, don't try to cut corners, because what they're going to do now, the next step, I think that they will do, and I'm pretty sure they will look into people who have done things that are not right to get on those visas, and they might even charge off criminal charges for those. So be very careful. Make sure your employer is compliant. Make sure, if you're an employer, make sure you are compliant, because they're already targeting. And if you look at big consulting companies, for example, Infosys, Tata, etc., they already stop kind of thinking of hiring H-1Bs now. They are going more for people from schools here, etc. So that's another thing you need to be careful about. If you're working for a consulting company or any kind of company, make sure they are compliant, because many times people will think, oh, I can be benched or run my payroll, stuff like that. It doesn't work this way. If they have work, then they can keep you. If they don't have work, they have to let you go, because you can be in as much in trouble as them. And if the wave, like we say, the tsunami is coming, it's not going to spare anybody. Hope is good. I don't have any problem, but it's better to be prepared than sorry. So that's another thing that I want people to really kind of focus on, especially for my listeners who are mostly on employment-based immigration. Make sure that, and then also don't go to lawyers who are telling you to do hanky-panky job or trying to put you in fake visas and things like that. Stay away from those people, because once they go after those people, they get one of their clients who's got something bad, everybody else will be in trouble. So be careful on that. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are many, many of those rights that you need to know about that are very important. I have some list on them on my website, Know Your Rights. But again, now the other problem that we'll be facing is change of law. How much change of law, and how much will we be able to use the Constitution to protect our clients? Many lawyers are actually worried about this, because they don't have really an assurance that they will be able to kind of help people using the Constitution, because there is a chance also the Supreme Court will have a new judge which will tip the balance of power. And once this happens, we are expecting that there will be some major changes, and hopefully we'll have a lot of organizations standing up, like ACLU, etc., that they will be there to help. But now a lot of people also feel like they will be safer to stick to the community. And here I'm going to call on everybody. Yes, indeed, it is very important to stick to your community at this point, because unfortunately we are in really, really tough times. Unless you understand and you look at history, many times those kind of things have happened before. It happened long time ago, especially for people in the Muslim community and the undocumented, illegal, or as they call them. Things are going to get really rough, and you cannot really kind of deny this and pretend it's not happening, because it will happen. So be ready for it. Standing in a community is very important, because stay in groups, stay in places where you can have protection. And if you are undocumented, make sure you have friends. And if you have children, especially who are U.S. citizens, make sure that you have names, addresses, that if in case you get picked up, those children can go somewhere. Don't ignore that, because it will happen, and it will happen very fast, and your children will be on the street, and you need to have some kind of way to protect those children, at least until you get things solved for you. Let me take one caller and then I'll go forward and more some of the right. This is Shapra. Are you alive on air? Okay, I think I lost the caller. So I'm going to go on. I'm sorry. Today, I've been doing in all those past radio shows, I wanted to cover topics where people know their rights, because we know the problem is coming. There's no way to kind of run away from it. We have to deal with it. And people have to know their rights. It's very important. Number one, like I said, they cannot enter your house without a warrant. However, they can stop you on the street if you, not the police. Fortunately, in California, the police said they are not going to participate in that. But back in the days of Bush administration, again, because I'm using that as an example, because this was tough times for many people. One of the things they were doing, and which Obama continued and somehow got kicked out of it, is to basically deputize the local police officers to basically do the immigration work. And you will see that oftentimes they will have those cars which are kind of rare, but it's there. We've seen it, those cars where they say special agents and things like that. And you need to be able to kind of at least say, okay, I want an attorney before speaking or something like that, or remain silent. Let me take one caller. This is Shapra, you're live on air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I have a question for the new rule which is coming up in January 17th. So what happens to the H-4 EAD? So suppose somebody changed the company and they get a three-year extension and their spouse is working on H-4 EAD. So that H-4 EAD also can be extended based on the current H-140, even though it is revoked.
Yes, because for H-4 EAD, the problem will not be there really, because H-4 EAD functions on 6 years extension also. Even you don't have the full I-140, you can still file the extension. But we have another problem. H-4 EAD might be one of the things that we don't know if it's going to stay after Trump. So right now, you don't really need that rule to even get the extension. Once you pass 6 years and you have your 6 years above extension, you can use AC-21 rule 106 or 104 A and B, I think. And you can do extension. So that's not an issue. If the rule for H-4 EAD stays, even the no I-140, you can still do the extension once you pass 6 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck to you. So let me, I don't know if I have more callers, Franco. Do I have any? So I was talking about immigrants know your rights. And I know that a lot of people are kind of worried at the same time. They ask questions and they want to know what will happen. Unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball to tell you what will happen. But I've been trying to kind of figure out what are the possibilities. And one of the reports that we looked at today and in the beginning of the show is this FAIR publication. FAIR is a group that is very much kind of on the other side of immigration. They are pushing for what we call in our group negative immigration pattern. And it seems like many of the propositions they are on will try to implement them at least. So that's why today we were talking a little bit about knowing your rights as an immigrant. And we talk about warrant, we talk about situations of DACA, we talk about people who have a chance to, for people who now, I was talking about also people who have children, U.S. citizen, but who are undocumented. You need to make sure you have an address or a family member or someone who's going to be able to take care of the children during the time. If in case, God forbid, you get picked up. I know it's kind of hard to start imagining this at this point, but guess what? We are being advised by most of the groups who are fighting for the rights of immigrants, even churches and all other religious groups. They are telling us to tell people to have some kind of provision for that. I don't know if I have another caller. This is Shapra. You're live on here.
Hello? Aisha, I have a quick question about EAD.
Yes,
so
sir.
Suppose just now you mentioned if I changed a company to a company B,
uh-huh.
So if my wife and it is 6 years are completing, so Now, I don't even need that H-4EAT. After my 6 years visa extension, my spouse can get an H-4EAT, even though we have not applied for EAD on I-140.
Yes, because this is a different issue. The EAD of I-140 is a different one. The EAD of I-140, the question was not EAD I-140, it was H-4EAD. The EAD I-140 is something that will be given pretty much on humanitarian grounds, especially if you're, until you transit completely to another company, if you have some kind of hardship, they will give you a EAD until you get another job to get back on your H-1. The problem is that analyzing that law is kind of sad because it's too late in the game. There's a big chance this will be reversed, so relying on that is not something you should do. You should rely on your H-4EAD because that's already been there. And the new one, what I was talking about here is that if someone wants to extend the H-4, you don't have to have the I-140. Let's say the company revokes the I-140 after 6 years and that person needs to renew the H-4. They can use the beyond 6 years rule to do the extension if you got an extension as a spouse on the H-1. So that's what I was talking about. As for the I-140 EAD, I have not really dig too much into it. The reason for that is this rule is not going to hold too long, okay? So don't count too much on it, okay?
Okay, sure, thanks.
Okay, good luck to you. So we have another caller. This is Shapurai, right? You're live on air.
Hi, sir. This is Chandra here. Actually, I was just listening about all this restriction and what is coming on our way in future, and we should be ready for that. How much a person need to be worried who is confirmed that we are on a legal immigration documented and our company is compliant and everything is fine? How much we should worry about that?
Yeah, that's a big question. Well, this is a good question too. You should not be worried that much because otherwise you're just going to be stressed for no reason. For people who are an H-1B, a clean H-1B has no issues of sometimes, you know how some people have H-1B and then they shift, they go to a company which doesn't have work just to keep the H-1B and think they should be worried, that's for sure. But if you have a genuine position, if they come and check on you, you're sitting there, you have your H-1B, then your worry is less. Of course, they will make it hard on companies to hire people on H-1B, that's for sure. But if you have a genuine job offer, you're sitting there, you don't have those benching or some kind of H-1B just to basically stay in the country and things like that, you should not really be worried because things should be okay on that. Now, the problem is they might pass laws, like I said, to basically make people feel so uncomfortable that they will just want to leave. But getting over worried is not the idea here. The idea is to be prepared. What I'm telling people, if you are an H-1B, L-1 visa, etc., make sure the company is compliant with every rules. That means E-Verify is compliant. If you're putting, for example, now, let's say you're working with a consulting company, you are with client, end client A, and you move to end client B, make sure they're doing your amendment. Make sure that all the paperwork with the company are in regulation. Make sure they know the law when they're telling you, because sometimes just to keep you, they will tell you, oh, everything is all right. But that's not the way it should be, unfortunately. So these are what I'm talking about. But apart from that, people who have a strong hold here, they have a good visa or green card, they should not be worried unless they have some kind of criminal past. That's another problem. Many people have very strong case, but they are maybe DUI. Maybe, I don't know about DUI, they didn't say, but I'm giving an example. They might have issues down the road, because they will kind of strictly check those. Now the question, do they have the means to check that much? That's where states come into play. Many states have said, like California, they're not going to make it easy on them. So by not making it easy on them, it stalls the whole case, and ultimately we might see by that time, hopefully the government change, the attitude change, etc. But no, the worry is limited to people who have anything in the past or in the future, don't have a good thing to hold on to, that those they should be worried because they are going to target those people. They already have a plan for that, okay?
So the only other than, actually I was trying to uncover the thing, like if not, other than the paper documentation and other thing, within a community, how much
a problem may arise, like if I'm on H-1B or I'm a non-immigrant visa, any kind of, then living at a place, how much is scary that's going to be, and what all things can come in our way.
That's a million-dollar question. Trust me, it makes me kind of stay awake every night, how much worried this should be. First of all,
okay.
You have a strong case, you should not be worried. Having said that, my idea, there are two things that is going to happen. For number one, you have the government themselves, which is going to create a lot of issues. But number two, we have the situation where you have people who are also anti-immigration. They are going to make immigrants' life a nightmare, especially if you live in an area where there are not many immigrants. So they are not going to protect you because they might be anti-immigration themselves. And that's what I was talking about here. Unfortunately, I don't have an exact answer until they put their plan here. But they have clearly made sure. If you look at Kobach's plan, who is the one who might be the head of DHS, he is very clear-cut that he's going to go after most of the work visas. And that's why you're seeing Infosys and Tata kind of reducing the H-1B and taking American workers. As for people who are students on OPT and their school are not very reliable schools, I will be worried too. So unfortunately, there's no way right now at this point I can give an exact answer, but every week I'm kind of covering this. But let me prepare something on the YouTube and I will post it soon, and we'll cover that because the show is almost finished. But thank you for calling, and don't get stressed right now. There are ways to fight this, but just be ready and have your family ready, because you are fine if you have a good H-1B, a good green card, etc. So just stick there, okay? And if you have a chance to go for citizenship, file your citizenship. Okay, let me, Franco, I think we have 2 more minutes to go, so I'm going to close telling everybody, know your rights. I'm going to put more videos on my YouTube channel. Please subscribe, youtube.com/Shapirali Law. I have 2 YouTube channels, but the one I use mostly is Shapirali Law. Please check it. And now, just before I finish, as you know, the economy also is acting weird and immigrants are worried. So a lot of people are having their car repossessed right now. And what's happening, the banks is coming after their money that they owe on those cars, the difference. Those, we can help you maybe settle those debts. Give us a call at 510-742-5887. Also, for people who have second mortgages, banks are starting to give settlement on those. So give us a call. If we can help you, we will check. If we can help, we'll be more than glad to help. Again, 510-742-5887. And also, if you have litigation with insurance and you want to settle those debts too, and we're talking only debt settlement here. We don't really do litigation, but we can negotiate those and avoid all the headache of litigation. We can do it for business cards, business credit cards. We have business loans and pretty much most kinds of debts. Of course, for student loan is different. We don't do too much of those, but the rest we can still help. So give us a call, 510-742-5887, if you owe any money on loans, because these are coming really strong right now. And we are expecting some really maybe good or bad changes coming next year. But for immigrants, unfortunately, I cannot really give any guarantee anymore, except we never give guarantees, of course, on cases, but guarantee on how the law will change. We might see beautiful things coming. I'm hoping, I'm praying to God it will happen. But from the people that are being hired in the cabinet and the way things are basically unfolding, there will be more difficulties, and then hopefully ease will come after that. So be ready for that. And before I close, I have 1 minute to go, Franco. I just wanted to tell people in the Muslim community, especially because a lot of calls I'm getting, because there's fear on both sides, both the government for refugees also, and also on the side of being safe. So stay safe. Make sure you have your kids accompanied. Make sure you have a good plan also. And make sure you stay in areas where you won't get into trouble, because things are going not great, unfortunately. This is unfortunately not the America I lived in for so many years. I pray to God it changes. I pray to God people see the truth and actually come to their right mind. And we will be here to help you. Give us a call, 510-742-5887. and the number, the website to check, attorneyonair.com, attorneyonair.com. For debt settlement is yourdebtsettlementattorney.com, yourdebtsettlementattorney.com. I repeat that. For those who have a legal or in legal situations, there's no need to overreact on this, but be careful. Make sure your all your paperwork are in order. Number one, for those who are undocumented, make sure you are protected for your children. Good luck to you. Thank you. And anything I'm telling you today is my opinion. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. Thank you, Franco. I'll be back next Thursday from 10 to 11, and it will be replaying at midnight on Friday. Bye-bye.